Four. Appreciated that devotion this morning. Can never hear enough about the Lord. Never can. And chapter 4 of our text says, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai under the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. And in verse 8, we see he sends a copy and further tries to explain what's going on here. And of course, this stems from what happens previously, where Haman feels insulted by Mordecai. So he, through conspiracy, develops a plot to destroy the Jews. Which to me, that's a little bit high, isn't it? You got cut off by a red car, so now you want all the red cars destroyed. So-and-so said something awful to you, so now you're willing to burn the whole family. And of course, we see Haman here being a pagan-minded, a carnal-minded person. That still doesn't make a lot of sense, but we get it. Now, what we're looking at here really is a problem so complex yet simple at the same time. Have you ever had problems that seemed abhorringly complex, but the response to them was so very simple? We get that. Sometimes that happens. Well, this happened, and so-and-so, they did that. Well, no, you did this. And there's back and forth, and there's arguing, and there's accusations, and there's issues. But the answer was very clear. You sit down with you. You apologize for that. You apologize for that. We forgive each other with perfect God-like forgiveness. And we move on, right? That's the way it should go, but we make it complicated. Now, all of a sudden, Aunt So-and-so can't talk to Aunt So-and-so, and y'all ain't been together at Christmas for the last 40 years. Why? Because, well, one time you broke my gravy bowl, and you said, well, it was an ugly gravy bowl. You know, something ridiculous like that. And then they did this, and it just compounds and compounds. A lot of our problems are like that. We are looking at the story of Esther. We're looking at the book of Esther as a situation to apply the tools we've learned so far and how to deal with stress and to garner a few more. We've talked about when you're dealing with stress, particularly stress you didn't cause yourself, right? I woke up this morning, I didn't feel very well. Anybody wake up this morning, you didn't quite feel real well in the tummy area? Now, why? I ate wrong yesterday. I didn't eat too much. I ate wrong yesterday. So guess what? I caused that stress myself. So stress that you don't cause yourself, like what Esther's going through here, it's big. It's scary. We're talking about genocide on a level, maybe heard of before, but a disgusting level. It is awful. So what do I do? What needs to be done? Now, Mordecai, he made the option to lay himself out in sackcloth, and he's weeping and mourning, and many Jews are out there doing the same, weeping and mourning, because they know they are about to die. Esther, of course, just finding out about this. Sometimes, our reaction when we first hear about a problem means everything. I want you to think about that for a second. Your first reaction means everything. So often I've wished that I could go back to a moment and give in pause instead of quick words. That I could have gone back and shared some knowledge, gone back and shared some wisdom that the years have given me that I didn't have in the moment. It is okay in the moment when you are dealing with a problem that is too big for you to pause and wait for a reaction. Or wait for wisdom instead of a reaction. Sorry, let me say that right. It is okay for you to pause and wait for wisdom instead of a reaction. Because I'll tell you this, we're supposed to crucify the flesh every day, right? But isn't it amazing how something that's crucified every day is so very quick? For whatever reason, our carnality is always swifter than our wisdom. Right? The very first reaction that comes to mind might be a sinful one, might be the wrong one, might be a rash one. So we need to learn to pause and ask ourselves, what am I looking at? Now, if I were looking at it from the outside, and I'm sitting here, and I'm a servant in Ahasuerus' house, I would say, all right, well, I don't understand what happened here. This guy got mad at this guy because this guy didn't show him respect. So now he wants to kill all the people from this guy. That makes sense, but it goes deeper. You see how it goes deeper? You see, the devil, this is one of the devil's many attempts to destroy the Jews. It's really what it is. It's his attempt to nail them once and for all, to cut off the bloodline that God promised Jesus Christ would come out of. And time and time and time again, God stopped him from doing so. Really revealed to him, no, I'll let you have your way to a certain extent to reprove my people, to punish my people, to bring my people back to me, but you don't call the shots. I'll stop you when I want to stop you. So what we see here is the devil trying to destroy something that God is doing. So often in our lives, that is where we are. Folks, we are, when we look at these little arguments, these petty debates that we have in our lives, or these frustrations that we have in our lives, it is very easy for us to make them bigger than what they need to be. What we need to do is look at something for what it is. Is this the devil trying to get at me? Is this something that God is using to teach me, to show me? Is this something that's just the natural course of life? And it's going to hurt for a while, but God is good and he'll continue to dole out those blessings. There's a lot to consider, but you've got to consider it properly. God does not put us into situations without help. God does not put us into situations without a planned direction for them to go. God does not do things in our lives frivolously. He does not allow evil into our lives or bad into our lives frivolously. He works all things together for good. We need to have that assurance when we enter into anything. So when you get word back from the Mordecai in your life, hey, this is the problem, this is what's going on, this is what we all must deal with, hit pause for a second and consider the Lord and literally nothing else. Well, they said this, if I don't answer back to them, what's that going to say about me? That you got a good sense. that your head works right. You know what I mean? With kids, you know, well, you took my toy. Well, that's not fair. Well, I'll take your toy. Well, he took my toy first. Well, he threw the first punch. Well, yeah, but he came in and hit me with a stick. You know, don't react that way. That's children. Children do that. What do? Do we hit back? We do not hit back. Well, you said this to me on social media, so I'm going to say that. You said this to so-and-so. Well, I'm going to get on the phone and I'm going to say something to so-and-so myself. That's not how we behave, right? Oh, you know, hey, we've got this issue. We've got this problem going on. So what I need to do is shut the windows, bar the doors, sit quietly by myself in the dark, and wait for myself to feel better. Your body doesn't work that way. Your spirit doesn't work that way. we've got to look at what it is, and we've got to look at our reaction. Now, Esther here, she understands kind of the issue here. Verse 9, and Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. She says, you don't understand. I can't just go in there and do that because he's got this law, right? That if you just barge into his presence, they'll put you to death. And the only way that would save me is if he holds out that scepter. And that's the only way. You don't understand. If I go in there, I will die, and this plot dies with me. This desire, this plan dies with me. Esther is in a position. I mean, you think about this. You've got the invisible problem, the devil versus God. You've got the visible problem, Haman versus the Jews, or more particularly, Haman versus Mordecai. And here is her decision. I could possibly be the only person to do something about this. And we see what her heart is. I will do something about this. But it seemed impossible. We will have stressful moments in our lives where the answer seems impossible. Why? Because we live on a cursed earth and there's not always a lot of easy, there are not a lot of easy answers. Sometimes the big things happen and we don't know exactly how to fix them. Sometimes things break and things happen that we can't fix. You know, when my kids first started bringing to me toys that had broken, I felt 10 foot tall and bulletproof when I could snap those things back together and I was the hero. Oh, Dad, that's wonderful. That's great. Gideon brought me a toy one time that was so broken. And I go, oh, buddy. And I think it fell down the stairs. He was coming down the stairs, and he slipped a little bit, and he dropped it, and it just broke. And there's no putting something. You know how, like, the hinges and things, you just can't put it back together. And I go, buddy, this one's a little step above what I can do. Oh, he was crushed. He was crushed. And I tried everything possible, as you do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And there's nothing you can do. You know, I love that God never puts us into a position where he can't fix it, but there's a lot of situations I find myself in, like Gideon and his toy, where it's broken and there's nothing I can do. And it's sad. But God has purpose and God has plans and there's a reason for it. And sometimes, again, that reason just being because it's the natural course of life. But God is faithful to us and he loves us. So we need to be able to look at the things we can do something about and make sure that we're doing something about them. Right? Well, I struggle with a lot of debt. Been getting those phone calls. Always breaks my heart. Struggle with this. I'm struggling with that. And I'm like, wow. Well, where do you work? Oh, I don't work. I have a hard time keeping it. I just don't work. Well, you know, that's where the money is. That's where the money is. Somebody told me a joke one time. I kind of chuckled at it, but I don't know if it was a joke. But they were quoting something, and I don't remember what it was. But two bank robbers were sitting there around a table, conspiring with each other. The guy goes, all right, here's what we do. We go in and we get hired. The other bank robber goes, yeah. We sit there for a while, really figure out how everything works, the schedules, the things like that. And we just go in and we clock in. And no one will know what we're there for. The other bank robber goes, yeah. And we stay there for 25, 30, maybe even 32 years. Guy goes, what? And then we get out of there. One day we just quit or retire. And we get out of there. No one will know. No one will know what? That we took all this money with us. That's a job. Yeah. That's what you need. I got a real good money making scheme. It's called clocking in, working 8 hours and clocking out. I told people all the time, what I need is a certain amount of money. Well, go to work. And there you go. You know, sometimes that's what you need. You're prolonging the issue by not being the solution to your own problem, right? I would get those people that would come in, they could not pay their rent. They're sitting there, this long story, and we'd work a thing out, and this is what we're going to do. And they'd come in the next day, pick up the giant television that was delivered by Amazon. Where did you get that? Oh, yeah, well, I decided to treat myself. It's been so stressful lately. Well, what are you doing? You had this problem and that problem, and your cat needed a brand new car or something like that. Like, you're telling me all these stories, and then you come in and you're picking up all these Amazon packages. You're telling me all these stories. And one time it literally was that this television had to have sat almost as high as I did, and almost, well, probably a little bit wider than me too. But it just, here you go. And I'm like, look at that. That is a huge TV. I'm trying to imagine what wall in our floor plans would accommodate this size TV. And sure enough, it was somebody who owed me 3 months' rent. We had just worked out a plan. I go, well, that's the way of it. You're digging the hole deeper. Stop it. You know, I've got a relative. She's trying to figure out why so much of the family refuses to talk to her. I said, well, have you considered not picking fights with everybody you talk to? Well, you know, if people would just come around to my way of thinking, I wouldn't have to be that way. Well, yeah, that's a decision we're making. It's not going to be around you, right? That's rough. It's rough for her. But have you considered not calling people mean names? Have you considered being kind? Have you considered a niceness to yourself? Have you considered making peace instead of war in every situation you've got? Well, you have to understand I'm a loudmouth person. No, you're a lonely person making loudmouth decisions. That's what. Well, you have to say, I'm a person who has a hard time working. No, you're a person who needs to work. Right? We all do. This brand new socialistic idea, and they're selling the kids on this, right? Hey, listen, we need socialism, because under socialism, you won't have to work as hard to be able to get the things that you want. And we could all sit around at home for hours at a time, making buckets of money, doing very little work. Now, here's the thing. You and I know that that's garbage. But these kids who are whining about their 8-hour shifts at Starbucks, they don't understand that. That's why they're buying into this. I had a relative recently. She made a snide remark about communism around the Thanksgiving table. Well, not communism. She made a snide remark about capitalism as we're sitting around the Thanksgiving table. Food piled to the ceiling. Snacks galore. Pies all over the place. Made a snide remark about capitalism. I go, well, you know what they're eating down there in Venezuela, right? What? Each other. We go to socialism, no one's going to be sitting around for hours. Right? Well, they don't understand when they say seize the means of production, you're the means of production. They don't understand that. They don't get it. We're all going to sit around like Instagram models and take pictures of our avocado toast under socialistic regime. No, there's a reason. There's a thing that happens when you do that. All right, your money becomes napkins when you do that. But anyway, you're digging a hole in deeper to make the problem worse. You need to be a part of the solution when you can. There's too many people sitting out there right now who have problems that could solve those problems if they just knocked it off. They just stopped. And we need to take responsibility for our actions, take responsibility for what we're doing. Now, Esther here, I'm not picking on Esther for saying, hey, you don't understand, I go in there, I'll die. Because you know what? I would be thinking the same thing, and you would be too, right? This is an obstacle. And now when we're sitting here and we're seeing obstacles to solving the problems or obstacles to us taking responsibility, we need to see them for what they are. Obstacles. You know what obstacles are for? Getting around. Well, what if I die? Well, you're going to die anyway. That's what Mordecai tells her, doesn't he? Right? Hey, listen, you being the queen will not save you. Right? Your complicity, you're sitting there silently, the being the queen will not save you. We've seen how he treats queens that makes him upset. Like, one wouldn't come down and parade around in front of his buddies. What do you think he's going to find out when you're a Jew and he just passed this law? He's going to have you killed anyway. But maybe as the queen, you could save the lives of all of us. When we come up to obstacles, there is this temptation for us to sit back and just wait for something else to happen. To not want to address it. And we'll look more at this next week. We're out of time. But there's this temptation for us to relax and not do anything. And folks, that's what people are doing out there. They're not doing anything. That's what sometimes we do with our problems. We don't do anything. And you know what happens to problems when you ignore them? They get bigger. We'll pick it up there next week. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful for your word, grateful for the things that we can learn, that the Bible is not just a series of poems and stories. It's instructions on life. And Lord, there are so many problems and so many issues that if we were just closely paying attention, we could solve so fast. And I pray this, Father, that you help us in that endeavor. Show us the knowledge, give us the wisdom, that, Lord, we may bring honor to you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.